flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I am so grateful to be in Minnesota. I tell Governor Walz all the time that he should really, he and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanigan, talk more about what this state is doing for families who have children with special needs. Like my friend Charlotte, her daughter Kylie has autism, and she is going to sixth grade, almost in sixth grade, just like my daughter Cameron. They're the same age, and actually they could be twins. They look just like. I told her I'm gonna do a swab and make sure Sean not the child daddy, because her daughter and my daughter look way too much alike. And so she and I have gone to galas for autism families together. And there's just a strong bond with moms and dads in this community who have kids with autism. And we talk about a lot of stuff. But one of the things that really concerns us is whether or not our children will be able to make friends. Will they have lifelong relationships? Where other kids won't ostracize them or make fun of them or misuse them or take advantage of them. It's a hurting feeling when your child comes home with a black eye and they can't tell you how they got it because they can't talk. You know? Or they come home and pretend to be sick because they don't want to go back to school because somebody's taking advantage of them. And so just having those good friendships for special needs kids means so much. My daughter Cameron did not talk for a long time. And so she wouldn't get invited to the sleepovers and the birthday celebrations at the Chuck E. Cheese and the Children's Museum. And the kids would come back and talk about all the fun they had. And Cameron would just stand there and be listening to them. And I remember one day going up to one of the parents and I said, hey, listen, y'all had a party over the weekend and you didn't invite my child. She has autism. Is there a reason that she, I'm just asking, I'm not saying you have to invite her. I was just asking. She said, well, my daughter says that your daughter won't talk to her when she tries to talk to her. And so she thinks that she doesn't like her. And that's when I really started writing these books about my kids so that we could educate their normal developing friends about autism. And when I wrote Cameron's book, I sent 30 copies to her classroom because I want every one of her classmates to know and understand what autism is, right? And so once her friends understood why she wasn't talking to them and they start being her helpers, do you know this girl tested off the spectrum? We spent hundreds of hours in therapy, thousands of dollars on doctors and medicines and supplements and some stuff we probably really didn't need. But it was the support of her friends that helped her to get better in her autism journey. And so what I saw in the Star Tribune, a story by Jack O'Connor, that there was a group of elementary school students lobbying the Minneapolis School Board to get better playground equipment for their classmates with disabilities, I was like, okay, I gotta invite Jay O'Connor on the Shaletta show so I could figure out what's the story all about. But baby, when I kept reading, I realized I didn't need Jay O'Connor, the author of the story. I needed Nicole LaBelle. She's the mama of the kids who went to the school board and said, we need better playground equipment, more handicap accessible playground equipment for our special needs friends so we can play with them on the playground without barriers. Baby, let me tell you something. Just talking about it is giving me the tingles. Broke me down to my brake pads. And Nicole is joining me right now. And Nicole, from one mama to the next, honey, let me just say thank you. Girl, I'm trying not to cry on my own show. happy Mother's Day to you. And thank you for raising your children to know how important it is to support their different abilities, classmates, and not just that, but to advocate for them. Tell me how this all came about, girl.
Oh, thank you for having me. Your story brought me to tears as I was listening. You know, when my daughter was born and was developing normally, I, you know, had all the normal questions that a mother would have. But then when I was noticing some things were a little bit different about my oldest, Fiona, you know, that's when I kind of started this journey of advocacy that I didn't know that I would be on. Mm-hmm. So we get that diagnosis. We don't know what it means. We now have to look different places to different families to try to find out what to expect in life. And when we got to school, I had this feeling like now other people would know more than I would. And I would start to feel like some of that burden come off of me. And, you know, it really was the opposite. It was mm-hmm. a big wake up call when I got to kindergarten and I was like, wait. And that was the first time where Fiona was only able to be with her peers at the beginning during recess and lunch. And I said, how mm-hmm. is she going to make friends? Mm. She can't play on the playground and she can't speak. Mm-hmm. How, if she's not involved with her classmates at any point, except recess, and she has to walk with an aide around the perimeter of the playground, how will she make any friends? Why would she even want to go to school? And so that's when my advocacy kind of journey started. And, you know, it was siloed to my daughter for the longest time, but I had more children and, you know, they saw the things that I was doing for Fiona, and she, you know, changed settings. So she's with her peers all the time and she has a wonderful one-to-one aide and, you know, we're always doing things together. And the kids started asking questions about, you know, when Fiona couldn't do something or why we had to drive so far to Woodbury to play at a playground with Fiona, or why we had to stand in line at the local playgrounds for the one swing, you know, that she could enjoy. And so that's just kind of been like a side passion project of mine is the playgrounds. And so when we chose to go to Ella Baker, because they have a really strong mission statement for, you know, equity and making sure that they're inclusive and all students, you know, they'll meet them where their students are. I was really hopeful and we've had a great experience. The special education department there is amazing and they're up for a new playground. And so many Minneapolis schools are like, it's time to replace the whole playground. And okay. So I was really hopeful. I was like, great, we're replacing the whole playground. It is time to do it. They give us a budget. We're going to use it right. We're going to make it for all students. And as the process went along, I was hearing from the special education department, you know, it doesn't seem like it's going to be an easy journey. And Barton School had gotten a playground that wasn't that accessible. And I was like, that really doesn't make sense. And they were like, you know, would you lend your voice? And I said, how loud do you want it? And, you know, I sent an email. And the day that I sent an email, I was talking to the girls. And I was like, you know, advocacy is a big part of my life and Fiona's life and your life. You know, when we see something, we're going to say something. And sometimes that's wearing a shirt of support. Sometimes that's sending an email. Sometimes that's starting a petition. Sometimes that's hearing someone say something and sharing your view to give them another perspective that they might not get from someone else. So, you know, everyone can do something. And that day, I was so inspired. My 10 and 11 year old, you know, they wrote out a little petition and they went to everybody on their bus. Even that slightly intimidating seventh grader in the back, and they got everybody to sign it, you know. They're like, even he signed it. And I was like, so what can we learn about him? Like, he's for inclusive playgrounds. That's a great thing. And then they were like, can we walk around the block and knock on doors? You know, and these tender young ages where they're like ready to go around their neighborhood and knock on the door and say, my sister deserves to be able to play. Do you think she does? And it's a resounding yes. It's why would we take this budget and not make sure everybody can play? And so we kept thinking we'd make a little traction. And then we kept hearing things like deadlines and inflation. And we kept going. So we went to the school board and we found a great advocate and Director Emmerich. And they paused the three contracts that they had. We asked, you know, what is the board going to do to make sure that as we are building new playgrounds, that we're building playgrounds for all students? Because it's not just for the students, it's for the community.
Right, right. Because people are going to be coming there in the summertime. Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
Before school, after school, when you're an incoming parent to a new school or your child is a kindergartner, you go visit the school and you say, hey, look at this playground. Where's the place where all students meet up from different classes, from, you know, the CDC classroom, the classrooms that where you don't get to see your peers, but you're all going to walk onto that playground. And if it's an inclusive playground that includes everyone, there's no barriers, and friends and students and community members, all different abilities, can just walk on to that playground and be kids, not think about it, not figure out how you're going to play together. No one has to sit on the side. They're just going to go. My daughter had a birthday party. We drove out to Woodbury to this inclusive playground. She had made great friends at Ella Baker. And she was, you know, 9. And she walked away with her friends without me and went and played. And I never thought that would be possible. Mm. And my mama heart just exploded, because that's what these spaces can give our kids. And that's where I became, you know, dedicated to helping all of these special education staff and the PTs at the schools. They want this. They know their students. They know their kids. And sometimes, you know, you just need to keep that momentum and get more people involved and make that change. And I'm so happy I'm able to lend my experience to help in any way I can. Because Fiona's going to be in middle school and she doesn't use the playground quite as much. But I know that feeling I had as a mom of a kindergartner. I know my friends' families. And I just think it's something that we can do now, that families of the future and Minneapolis public schools, we don't have to do that to kids. And we have the opportunity right now with the budget, with the replacement. I'm not asking for more money. I'm just asking you to do the smart thing with what you have right now.
Okay. Well, before you go, I just want to tell you again how grateful I am to your family. And here's what I would like to do for your children. I would like to buy your children season passes to Valley Fair. I just heard Taylor Rivera say something about the season is opening. And so when we get off the phone, Josh is going to get all your contact information. And I want to buy each one of your kids a season pass to go to Valley Fair so they can visit as much as they like. And you tell them Auntie Shaletta said thank you for speaking up for kids like hers. And I just want to wish you one more time an amazing Mother's Day. God bless you. And thank you for the work that you are doing to help kids like mine.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much.
You're welcome.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I am so grateful to be in Minnesota. I tell Governor Walz all the time that he should really, he and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanigan talk more about what this state is doing for families who have children with special needs. Like my friend Charlotte, her daughter Kylie has autism, and she is going to sixth grade, almost in sixth grade, just like my daughter Cameron. They're the same age, and actually they could be twins. They look just like. I told her I'm gonna do a swab and make sure Sean not the child daddy, because her daughter and my daughter look way too much alike. And so she and I have gone to galas for autism families together. And there's just a strong bond with moms and dads in this community who have kids with autism. And we talk about a lot of stuff. But one of the things that really concerns us is whether or not our children will be able to make friends. Will they have lifelong relationships? Where other kids won't ostracize them or make fun of them or misuse them or take advantage of them. It's a hurting feeling when your child comes home with a black eye and they can't tell you how they got it because they can't talk. You know? Or they come home and pretend to be sick because they don't want to go back to school because somebody's taking advantage of them. And so just having those good friendships for special needs kids means so much. My daughter Cameron did not talk for a long time. And so she wouldn't get invited to the sleepovers and the birthday celebrations at the Chuck E. Cheese and the Children's Museum. And the kids would come back and talk about all the fun they had. And Cameron would just stand there and be listening to them. And I remember one day going up to one of the parents and I said, hey, listen, y'all had a party over the weekend and you didn't invite my child. She has autism. Is there a reason that she, I'm just asking, I'm not saying you have to invite her. I was just asking. She said, well, my daughter says that your daughter won't talk to her when she tries to talk to her. And so she thinks that she doesn't like her. And that's when I really started writing these books about my kids so that we could educate their normal developing friends about autism. And when I wrote Cameron's book, I sent 30 copies to her classroom because I want every one of her classmates to know and understand what autism is, right? And so once her friends understood why she wasn't talking to them and they start being her helpers, do you know this girl tested off the spectrum? We spent hundreds of hours in therapy, thousands of dollars on doctors and medicines and supplements and some stuff we probably really didn't need. but it was the support of her friends that helped her to get better in her autism journey. And so what I saw in the Star Tribune, a story by Jack O'Connor, that there was a group of elementary school students lobbying the Minneapolis school board to get better playground equipment for their classmates with disabilities. I was like, okay, I got to invite Jay O'Connor on the Shaletta Show so I could figure out what's the story all about. But baby, when I kept reading, I realized I didn't need Jay O'Connor, the author of the story. I needed Nicole LaBelle. She's the mama of the kids who went to the school board and said, we need better playground equipment, more handicap accessible playground equipment for our special needs friends so we can play with them on the playground without barriers. Baby, let me tell you something. Just talking about it is giving me the tingles. Broke me down to my brake pads. And Nicole is joining me right now. And Nicole, from one mama to the next, honey, let me just say thank you. Girl, I'm trying not to cry on my own show. happy Mother's Day to you. And thank you for raising your children to know how important it is to support their different abilities, classmates, and not just that, but to advocate for them. Tell me how this all came about, girl.
Oh, thank you for having me. Your story brought me to tears as I was listening. You know, when my daughter was born and was developing normally, I, you know, had all the normal questions that a mother would have. But then when I was noticing some things were a little bit different about my oldest, Fiona, you know, that's when I kind of started this journey of advocacy that I didn't know that I would be on. Mm-hmm. So we get that diagnosis. We don't know what it means. We now have to look different places to different families to try to find out what to expect in life. And when we got to school, I had this feeling like now other people would know more than I would. And I would start to feel like some of that burden come off of me. And, you know, it really was the opposite. It was mm-hmm. a big wake up call when I got to kindergarten and I was like, wait. And that was the first time where Fiona was only able to be with her peers at the beginning during recess and lunch. And I said, how mm-hmm. is she going to make friends? Mm. She can't play on the playground and she can't speak. Mm-hmm. How, if she's not involved with her classmates at any point, except recess, and she has to walk with an aide around the perimeter of the playground, how will she make any friends? Why would she even want to go to school? And so that's when my advocacy kind of journey started. And, you know, it was siloed to my daughter for the longest time, but I had more children and, you know, they saw the things that I was doing for Fiona, and she, you know, changed settings. So she's with her peers all the time and she has a wonderful one-to-one aide and, you know, we're always doing things together. And the kids started asking questions about, you know, when Fiona couldn't do something or why we had to drive so far to Woodbury to play at a playground with Fiona, or why we had to stand in line at the local playgrounds for the one swing, you know, that she could enjoy. And so that's just kind of been like a side passion project of mine is the playgrounds. And so when we chose to go to Ella Baker, because they have a really strong mission statement for, you know, equity and making sure that they're inclusive and all students, you know, they'll meet them where their students are. I was really hopeful and we've had a great experience. The special education department there is amazing and they're up for a new playground. And so many Minneapolis schools are like, it's time to replace the whole playground. And okay. So I was really hopeful. I was like, great, we're replacing the whole playground. It is time to do it. They give us a budget. We're going to use it right. We're going to make it for all students. And as the process went along, I was hearing from the special education department, you know, it doesn't seem like it's going to be an easy journey. And Barton School had gotten a playground that wasn't that accessible. And I was like, that really doesn't make sense. And they were like, you know, would you lend your voice? And I said, how loud do you want it? And, you know, I sent an email. And the day that I sent an email, I was talking to the girls. And I was like, you know, advocacy is a big part of my life and Fiona's life and your life. You know, when we see something, we're going to say something. And sometimes that's wearing a shirt of support. Sometimes that's sending an email. Sometimes that's starting a petition. Sometimes that's hearing someone say something and sharing your view to give them another perspective that they might not get from someone else. So, you know, we can, everyone can do something. And that day, I was so inspired. My 10 and 11 year old, you know, they wrote out a little petition and they went to everybody on their bus, even, even that, slightly intimidating seventh grader in the back. And they got everybody to sign it, you know, they're like, even he signed it. And I was like, so what can we learn about him? Like he's for inclusive playgrounds. That's a great thing. And then they were like, can we walk around the block and knock on doors? You know, and these tender young ages where they're like ready to go around their neighborhood and knock on the door and say, my sister deserves to be able to play. Do you think she does? And it's a resounding yes. It's why would we take this budget and not make sure everybody can play? And so we kept thinking we'd make a little traction. And then we kept hearing things like deadlines and inflation, and we kept going. So we went to the school board and we found a great advocate and Director Emmerich. And they paused the three contracts that they had. We asked, you know, what is the board going to do to make sure that as we are building new playgrounds, that we're building playgrounds for all students, because it's not just for the students, it's for the community.
Right, right. Because people are going to be coming there in the summertime. Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
Before school, after school, when you're an incoming parent to a new school or your child is a kindergartner, you go visit the school and you say, hey, look at this playground. Where's the place where all students meet up from different classes, from, you know, the CDC classroom, the classrooms that where you don't get to see your peers, but you're all going to walk onto that playground. And if it's an inclusive playground that includes everyone, there's no barriers. And friends and students and community members, all different abilities, can just walk on to that playground and be kids, not think about it, not figure out how you're going to play together. No one has to sit on the side. They're just going to go. My daughter had a birthday party. We drove out to Woodbury to this inclusive playground. She had made great friends at Ella Baker. And she was, you know, 9. And she walked away with her friends without me and went and played. And I never thought that would be possible. Mm. And my mama heart just exploded, because that's what these spaces can give our kids. And that's where I became, you know, dedicated to helping all of these special education staff and the PTs at the schools. They want this. They know their students. They know their kids. And sometimes, you know, you just need to keep that momentum and get more people involved and make that change. And I'm so happy I'm able to lend my experience to help in any way I can. Because Fiona's going to be in middle school and she doesn't use the playground quite as much. But I know that feeling I had as a mom of a kindergartner. I know my friends' families. And I just think it's something that we can do now, that families of the future and Minneapolis public schools, we don't have to do that to kids. And we have the opportunity right now with the budget, with the replacement. I'm not asking for more money. I'm just asking you to do the smart thing with what you have right now.
Okay, well, before you go, I just want to tell you again, how grateful I am to your family. And here's what I would like to do for your children. I would like to buy your children season passes to Valley Fair. I just heard Taylor Rivera say something about the season is opening. And so when we get off the phone, Josh is going to get all your contact information. And I want to buy each one of your kids a season pass to go to Valley Fair so they can visit as much as they like. And you tell them Auntie Shaletta said thank you for speaking up for kids like hers. And I just want to wish you one more time an amazing Mother's Day. God bless you. And thank you for the work that you are doing to help kids like mine.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much.
You're welcome.